Bennett City Planning Board, June 27th, 2022. And we're all done. You're just going to click the black box here at the bottom to stop it and just say stop recording.
Okay, I'd like to call the June 27th, 2022 meeting, date of the Bennett City Planning Board to session. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Note that this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of the same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we'll rise and salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. At this time, would the board administrator please call the roll?
Jay Cook.
Present.
Reverend Zabby Hutch is absent. Commissioner Landgraf is absent. Commissioner Kriebel.
Here.
Tom Halpin is absent. Lorraine Salata.
Here.
Mike Leeson.
Here.
Dan Smith.
Here.
Peter Tocco.
Here.
Tim Coob.
Here.
Greer Gaskell.
Here.
Wendy Barlett is absent. And Don Siglin.
Here.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is that of adoption of the minutes from the last meeting. Are there any amendments or changes to your minutes that you have before you for adoption? Hearing or seeing no request, may have a motion and a second for adoption of the minutes as stated.
I make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are hereby adopted. We have two resolutions this evening. They are to be adopted as one as well, but they are P25 of 2023 at 21 South Newark Avenue and P26 2022 at 6801 Atlantic Avenue. Are there any amendments or changes to those resolutions? Hearing no requests and seeing none, may have a motion for adoption as stated.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. The resolutions are hereby adopted. This evening, we have two applications. We have one at 6606 Atlantic Avenue, which will be first, and then we have one at 300 North Dudley Avenue, which will be second. At this time, will the applicant and the representatives please come forward for 6606 Atlantic Avenue.
Chairman?
Yes.
I didn't see a 200 foot list, but my office is located right there.
Okay, so let's just err in the favor and we'll put you as recused. If you could step back from the board, please. Let the record reflect that Dan Smith has recused himself because of 200-foot limit, and that he is departing from the board for this particular hearing. We'll rejoin us again for the next hearing. Thank you, Dan. At this time, Mr. Goldstein, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Eric Goldstein on behalf of the applicant, Ben Sadie, who is with me to my right. Also with me is Mr. Robert Lola, who's a licensed architect who prepared the plan. I'm going to have both of them sworn, but just a couple of things for clarification. Presently, what we're seeking are variances for the first and second floor decks. Over the course of about the past month or so, Mr. Sadie is aware that other properties in the vicinity had also obtained a slight deviation from Ventnor's code with regard to the third floor deck. So he had been in contact directly with Carmella, who I hope is doing well, of course, and had asked about amending the application. And I think that's why Roger perhaps did not prepare a report, because there was some confusion about whether or not this would be heard tonight or on July 13th, and we decided to proceed tonight. The issue is, to the extent that Mr. Sadie determines to develop the house, He also was looking for the same relief that the other property owners obtained for the third floor deck. So the question, I don't know if it's for you, Mr. Chairman, or for Roger, or for Leo, or for Mr. Pakinowski, is we would like to amend to add the third floor decks rather than coming back for the exact same thing in July, which we would do if the board says that's the way they'd like to go. But Mr. Lolio can describe those decks as well. So to the extent it was possible, we'd like to amend the current application, and Bob can describe that in detail, and then adding in the third floor decks. The setback that's required is, we're looking for a 2-foot deviation on the, I'm sorry, Bob. But let me get you sworn.
Let me ask one question. Are the plans that you have before the board that Mr. Lolio did reflective of the changes that you're asking for? So that's a bit of a problem we have.
Understood.
A problem. The next thing is that I do have to make the comment is when variances are granted, as you know, they are not precedent.
Of course.
So I just want to start in the beginning because you led off with that, that we're not bound by a precedent here.
Sure.
And
we just didn't want to do the following.
Okay.
Come tonight, put the case on, and then come back in a few weeks and put on almost a similar case, because then it would look like we were trying to squeeze it in without letting you know. So we're just letting you know that now. If we have to come back, we'll come back. We'd prefer not to, but we don't want to come back and then you say, well, you could have done this 2.5 weeks ago. That's all.
What we're going to do right now, I'm going to go to Roger real quick. Roger, discussing with the documentation, and Leo, you can chime in as well.
I'll swear him in, too.
Okay. Well, wait a minute.
Good.
Just. Okay, let's swear everybody in first.
Sure. So, Bennett, might have some bit of testimony here. So, they'll swear you in here?
All right, let's go down the line. Mr. Sadie, then Mr. Lolio, I'll swear the two of you in, and then I'll get Roger. Just your name and address for the records, please.
Name Bennett Sadie, 6606 Atlantic Avenue, Ventnor, New Jersey.
Okay. And Bob?
Robert Lolio, 219 Bellevue Avenue, Hamilton, New Jersey.
Can each please raise your right hand? Each swear affirm the testimony you're about to give tonight will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you. And Mr. McCarron, please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you're going to give tonight will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Well, let's let the record reflect that Mr. Lolio is a registered architect who has appeared before this board many times, and his credentials are acceptable.
Thank you.
And, okay. If Roger, if you could engage with Mr. Goldstein, are the plans sufficient, or is there sufficient information for us to go further and hear the whole application? And Leo, please join in.
Well, looking at the plans and reviewing the plans, they show a third floor deck already. So the deviation, from what I understand, just from the brief testimony or introduction, is they want to bump it out 2 feet over the second floor deck. Instead of being within the building envelope, they want to be 2 feet further out, closer to the street, which requires a variance because it's not within the building envelope, but it's not a setback variance per se or an encroachment. I think the plans that are here tonight are sufficient for the board to get an understanding what they're seeking. I mean, if they came back and redrew these plans, you probably wouldn't even notice.
Okay, do you have anything other than the third floor deck that's a modification to the plans?
No, that's it, and that will be it. So,
okay. Again,
we don't want to, what we talked about just very briefly is coming in, and then Carmela was greatly helpful. She said we can get you right back in
right. On
the 13th, right. But then you're seeing the same plan, and we don't want to waste your time more than anything else, but we'll do whatever you like. It's not like we're going to push forward. We still want to go forward to the two first and second floor tonight. I did advertise for any and all other, but we're here at the pleasure of the board, so it was really your fault.
And my advice to the board was going to be similar to what Roger says. As long as the board is comfortable with visualizing what they're proposing, then I'm okay with it. If the board says I'm not comfortable, I can't tell what they're asking for, then so it's really up to the board's discretion. Legally, I'm okay with the notice saying the any and all, and I'm fine with proceeding so long as the board can see the third floor deck and then picture it 2 feet outside the building envelope.
So
if you look at board members, if you look at sheet A-104, the bottom illustration, if you look at the top right, you'll see the railing. That'll be 2 feet closer to the front.
To Troy Avenue.
But not, Troy Avenue. Not as far as the return.
Right. Not as far as the return.
It'll be approximately 2 feet back from the
front edge of the side.
Right. So we're asking for the third floor deck to be at 7 feet from the property line.
All right. We won't get into that in more detail.
So All right, go ahead. Now you're confusing me.
Mm-hmm.
So how much further out from the building envelope will you be? That's where I thought the 2 feet was.
For the front yard setback to be at 17.
And what are the dimensions of the deck?
The third floor deck?
No, the dimensions of the third floor deck.
Yes. Currently it's 9 by 13, so it'll be 9 by 18.
And what is the width of the front of the house?
The total width of the house is 32 feet 4 inches.
So it's half the width of the house.
It's 9 foot wide, 18 feet front to back.
Right.
18 feet front to back.
Right. It goes, so it's only 9 foot wide on the front side.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then it goes back.
All right.
Into the roof line.
It's longer.
Longer. Okay.
Got it.
So we know the same.
So it's less than a third.
All right. Board members, are you confident we can prepare through this whole thing?
It's not coming out as far as the roof of the second floor deck. It doesn't really change the
spot. We can go with, I'm not hearing any changes, so we'll note your application, that you're adding this to your, this amendment to your application. Is that in there already?
That's correct. And then what we would do at the board's pleasure again is obviously any condition to the extent the board saw fit to grant would be supplying the board with however many sets of additional plans you needed to see to sign off by the board and by building. So
at this time, could you amend your application?
We look to amend it to add the third floor deck, seeking 2 feet of variance on the width.
Okay.
It's 5 feet. The variance.
5 feet.
5 foot. From front, it's going to project 5 feet beyond mm-hmm. the
Right, so that's a 5 foot variance.
5 foot
right.
variance.
Because you're not allowed to be past the building.
Correct.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's been amended. Everyone's aware of that. So you can proceed.
Thank you. As we stated earlier,
you want to do a panel?
Yeah, let me do a brief introduction.
Okay. We're going to do a brief introduction with Roger McLaren, and then you'll go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So, board members, thank you, Chairman. Board members, I didn't do a report on this, but however, it's a basic, simple application. The ordinance allows a 5 foot encroachment into the front yard setback for first floor porches. The second floor used to be a 4 foot encroachment, and we changed it to allow 5 foot encroachment. So by default, we are allowing 5 foot wide decks. So they are seeking a 7 foot wide deck or a 7 foot encroachment versus a 5 foot encroachment. Therefore, the two variances for the first floor and second floor deck. Added to that is the third floor deck, as we discussed, where it's going to be project 5 feet out from the building envelope, which in itself is a variance. It's not a variance for a setback, other than it doesn't meet the front wall of the building.
Yeah.
So that there are the three variances that are seeking tonight.
Quick question.
Yes.
We are talking about the decks on the Atlantic Avenue side.
No, Troy Avenue.
On the Troy Avenue.
Troy.
For the Troy Avenue side, decks are 9'10".
Okay. That's because the building's not at the building setback. We made the porches
wider. Okay.
So how far are these decks from the building setback line? You're asking for 5 feet. How far are they from the building setback line?
First and second floor porches?
Yes.
They're 5 feet from the property line.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 2 foot encroachment because 7 foot is allowed.
So you're seeking a variance for 2 feet then, basically?
Correct.
2 feet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Correct.
And then how about the third floor deck?
The third floor deck, we're seeking a 5 foot encroachment from the building setback line, 2 feet setback from the front property line.
So it's an identical setback to the first and second floor deck.
First and second floor are identical, the third floor setback to match the 7 foot requirement.
Right. Okay.
Porches.
All right, Roger, do you want to proceed further?
No, I just wanted to outline
okay.
the variances.
What is the action?
At this
I'm sorry.
At this time, Mr. Goldstein, proceed.
Yes. As stated before, what we've got here is a new corner house, Atlantic and Troy Avenue, which obviously is all the way down on Atlantic. Mr. Lolio was tasked to design a house that wouldn't interfere with anyone's view on the beach block towards the beach. So the fact that we're seeking these variances, we believe Bob's going to testify in a second to justify that, because due to the corner location of the property, we're not going to be between anyone's house on...
Pardon me one second. Could somebody in the back close the door to the hallway, please?
Thank you.
Please.
Looking down from Atlantic to the ocean. So Bob's going to describe the house he designed, the fact that Mr. Sadie wants to try to take advantage of outdoor space, and did the thing which we always come before the board. You can have a bigger house or bigger decks, but you can't have both. He actually made the house smaller to try to accommodate larger decks. The house is not maxed out, which Bob is going to talk about in a second. So, Bob, you've been sworn. You know how Mr. Sadie tasked you to design this house. So walk the board through, step by step, what you designed, obviously focusing on the first two level decks, and then we'll go to the third floor deck, making sure the board has enough information to make their decision. So try to focus on, try to stay here with the mic. I think there's always one.
Okay. So we're proposing that
you can pick that mic up a little bit if you want.
We're proposing a 2.5-story dwelling over parking, and the objective was, if you're looking at the front right corner from Troy Avenue, we're going to have nice views from the porches and the decks. That's why, you know, that was important to Bennett. Everything else, all the other bulk requirements are conforming. The only thing we're here tonight is for the front porch setbacks.
And that's on Troy, not on Atlantic.
Correct. So it's an upside down house. So the deck off of the bedroom level, which is the first floor above parking, we have an 8-foot 4-inch deck. So the building, like Eric said, isn't as far forward as it could be because we're trying to maximize our porch space.
And if we had built the house or designed the house to go as far forward as it would be, then the deck by definition would be smaller, or we need a greater variance.
Correct.
But the house itself, just to be clear for the record, meets or exceeds all of Bender's bulk requirements, so we're not seeking anything for the house.
Correct.
It's all outdoor space.
Yes.
Could you please, on page A102, point to the location of where the deck is within the third floor? Third floor deck.
The third floor deck?
Yes.
It will be above the living room.
On page 102.
Yes. Oh, on the third floor plan?
Which is the third floor plan.
It's to the right of the master bedroom.
Right.
Front right corner.
Does everyone see where he's pointing? To the deck? Okay.
So you can see it sets back to the side yard. It's kind of a side yard deck. That's why we were trying, because we're going to have great views out that master bedroom. We're trying to push it a little bit forward. And it will go from 9 foot, so it's 9 foot wide, 13 feet deep. We're asking for 9 foot, approximately 18 feet deep.
Now you say deep, you're not referring to the actual distance from the house to the deck. That's depth because of the fact that it's facing...
Correct. It's skinny and long towards the side yard.
The deck shown is 13.2 by 9 right now.
Right.
And what is it going to be?
It'll be, we're adding 8 or 5 feet to that, so it'll be 15 or 18 feet 2 inches by 9.
So to the 13-foot line is going to be 5 foot of an add, which will make that 18 feet, 18.2.
Yep, which would put it at 7 feet from the property line.
Okay.
And the first and second floor decks, we're asking for 5 feet to the property line. Actually.
Now, just as a question, is
5 foot
going
two.
To be in the same line as the first and second floor decks? Or is it going to be 2 feet past? Will it be 2 feet past this first and second floor decks?
No. It'll be 2 feet from the front property line setback.
Will
from
it
the
be
first
even
second?
With the first and second front
no.
decks?
It's going to be 2 feet back from the first
two
and second
feet
floor.
2 feet back. Okay.
Right.
So the first
thank
and second
you.
Floor decks will stick out 2 feet more than the third floor deck. I think thank, that's where you're going. Thank you. Thank you. That's all I need.
Could you explain how that's going to interface with that roof below?
There'll be,
Or deck, and post on the outside?
There'll be a corner post set back, and then the railing will crash into the, we'll kind of turn the railing back into the house.
Right. But will it be?
I could try to cantilever it.
Will it be lower than this tip roof on the front? I mean, because it's kind of a nice design element, like.
It's a little bit, it's going to be a little bit lower.
The deck would be.
The deck will be a little lower than the roof line.
Again, for the board's purposes, on sheet 104 in the photo, we have, I think it's, 2A, I think is the, photo. Could you point to the railing, the deck for the board members?
It's right there to the right, top right.
Okay.
So that railing will just come forward 5 feet.
Okay.
It'll look identical pretty much. It's just, and I'll probably have a column down the right-hand side to support it.
So that comes out 5 feet?
From where it is now.
Thank you for pointing that out.
So Bob, just for purpose of the view, the house a little smaller,
exactly.
The deck bigger, was to not infringe upon any views down Troy, but this house is a corner, so you're on that side of Troy, really no one is affected by this unless you're looking towards Atlantic from Troy, correct?
Correct.
It's not infringing upon anyone's feet view down Troy Avenue, or it doesn't have any impact on Atlantic because the deck is where all three of them are on Troy.
Correct. The existing house is also at 5 feet, and it has an enclosed sunroom, and then a second floor porch above that. So it's a little, it'll be a little more open than what's actually there today.
Based upon the decks being aligned with each other, first and second floor, and the third floor being set back 2 feet from the first and second floor deck, do you see any negatives that could be associated with the possible view corridor or any infringement upon lighting or space on either Troy or that gap?
I do not, since the porch comes out further and the roof line is going to be pretty much the same height as the railing. It's not going to obstruct your view at all.
And really, this is more for Mr. Sadie, family and friends to have a little bit of a better view towards the beach, because the deck that's on the third floor is primarily going to face, Troy. It's going to look out towards the Atlantic Ocean.
Correct.
Okay. With regard to the third floor deck in and of itself, do you see any negative that could be associated with that based upon the location now compared to the variance we're asking for based upon our amended application?
I don't see any negatives.
To the extent someone could concede that a negative would be associated with your design, would the positives of such a design greatly outweigh any such negative?
Yes.
Now, I just want to make sure this is on the record as well, we talked about this. With regard to the bulk standards of the house, this is not what we consider your typical maxed out house, is it?
No. Everything meets the ordinance.
And in the event the board sees fit to grant the variance, the design of the house will remain the same. We're not going to then later use this variance to try to get more house out of this. This is simply decks only. The bulk for the house will be exactly as it is as you draw.
Correct. So the building coverage is allowed 75%, we're only at 62%.
Well under what otherwise is allowed, and all the other coverage, again, needed.
Lot coverage.
Lot coverage.
That was lot coverage.
Oh, lot coverage is, no.
Building's 42%.
Yes, building's 42%. Sorry, let me get my chart messed up. Yes, building's 42%. 50% is required, lot coverage is 62%, and 75% is required.
All right. For a new house being built at the shore, we just state that that's fairly significantly less than most people would design. It's smaller than they can get.
Correct, and even with the porch extensions, we're still meeting all the coverage requirements.
Well under on lot coverage, so saving being concerned about outdoor space doesn't necessarily have the same desire to max out the house, but obviously wants to max out what he can do with the decks, although it's still under on lot coverage.
Correct.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. McLaughlin, will certainly answer the questions. I think fairly straightforward application. Obviously, Mr. Chairman, you're correct, not that the other homes that were built around here are residential, but knowing of what was previously built and approved, we tried to stay within those confines, and most importantly, trying to stay under on everything relating to the house, knowing that Mr. Sadie wants to have more outdoor space, so.
No point.
There's also no pool, so it's also, you know, a little bit different of your shore house. It's truly someone who wants to spend time outdoors, but in a way to enjoy the view. So with that, we think that the first and second floor decks, as you see, clearly can be justified for light, air, and open space under the state of New Jersey municipal land use law, as well as Ventnor zoning code. And more importantly, the house is going to be a compliant flood, compliant house, fully compliant with parking underneath for your NFIP CRF ratings. And we get to the third floor deck. One third floor deck will exist there. It's just a matter of how big the board would permit to be. We don't think there's any negative to be associated with that, but obviously that's what we'll decide. So, you know, we'll turn it back to the board for questions if you have any. Mr. Sadie's here. He's been sworn in. He can testify.
Before I go to the board,
Couple comments real quick.
Go ahead.
They are asking, in addition to the three variances, a waiver for a landscape plan. I think you were going to mention the landscaping plan. Is the board happy with not providing a landscape plan? I think it would be pretty easy to show their location.
We want a landscape plan.
We're okay. Bob, just we'll provide
that. And there is on the first page, there is a schedule of plantings for that people can look at. The substantial schedule. But it's there, but we'd like to have a landscape plan.
Absolutely. As part of a compliance plan, we'll show all the shrubs and everything per your ordinance regarding
and
what we...
The other thing is how we're going to deal with street trees. On Troy Avenue, we generally don't put, because it's in the beach block,
right.
We generally don't put street trees on the beach block side, but on Atlantic Avenue, there should be enough room there for at least two trees.
There are, and we have on our plan, we showed two on each side, so if it would be more preferable, we can do four on Atlantic instead of two and two. It's really the board's call.
I think
we won't put it in the site triangle, of course, because we don't want to get too close to the corner.
I would do no more than three. Four is going to be too many.
Okay.
But if you wish to do three on the Atlantic side.
Absolutely.
And they can do grasses and so on if you so wish on the Troy Avenue side.
We would put three on Atlantic. Further enough, far enough back from the corner so that it doesn't impede
right.
anyone's view.
Exactly.
And obviously that would get approved by Mr. McLarnon prior to anything else occurring for compliance.
Just one additional comment is the curb cut width shown in the zoning chart shows 24 feet as being permitted. That's only for the R11 zone. You referenced the R11 zone requirements. So it is 18 feet. So
okay.
We'll fix that, right?
Yeah, that's what's proposed too, right? Yeah.
What?
18 is proposed.
18
it's
is
just
proposed.
A requirement.
Right. I just don't want them coming back saying 24 is permitted.
Right.
24.
Now, Roger, are you complete?
I am. Yes.
Now, board members, are you? The floor is open to you. Do you have any comments, questions of the applicant, or if you wish to proceed, please do.
You are returning the governor's strip where there is none now.
Correct.
And the massing of the second floor decks, the reason they're coming forward is really to support the second floor, the same footprint from first to second floor, right? Is that you've got columns on the facade.
For the second floor deck?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, so the ordinance, I believe, changed.
Right.
They don't step it back 1 foot anymore.
So correct. Partially a design feature that they're in the same plan.
Yeah, that always helps, you know, when right. you post a line and it makes it a little structurally more easy to design. Yeah.
Right. Rather than have a column supported within a floor system.
Yeah, you wind up having a column in your deck space.
Right. Okay.
What are the actual dimensions of the first and second floor deck?
The first floor deck is...
6 foot, 6
foot,
so 8 foot. It's
8 foot 4 inches deep by the hole. It's 37 foot 8 inches wide on the.
Say that again?
37 feet 8 inches wide on Troy.
37.
By 8 foot 8 inches. And then there's a little bump out in the end.
And then off the second floor living area, we have a 9-foot 10-inch porch by 37 feet. Do you need the third floor deck? Or just?
No, I'm good.
Okay, any more questions for the board? If not, I'd like to open up to the public. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to speak on this application? I see no hand, I hear no voice, so therefore the public portion of this application is now closed. Do you have any further comments?
I don't, Mr. Chairman. First of all, thank you for allowing us to amend just for purposes of convenience for the applicant, but also for the board. We think that we've been able to establish the third floor deck being part of this application. To the extent any condition is put on, as said earlier, we're willing to abide by that. With regard to the street trees, we'll amend regarding the dimensions of the driveway. So I believe Mr. Lolio has put on case that satisfies your ordinance and also has the positives greatly outweighing any such negatives. It's a beautiful house. It's smaller than, you know, could be designed because he wants to take advantage of the outdoor space. But obviously, there are variances necessary, so we're here. And just appreciate the ability to put that part of the case on instead of coming back in just a few weeks. And we would rest.
You in agreement with Roger McLaren's comments?
Yes.
Okay. So then you are complete.
Sorry?
You are complete.
We are, Mr. Chairman. Yep.
And at this time...
So it's first floor, second floor decks is a 22-inch variance. And if the third floor deck is beyond the building envelope by extending it 5 feet. So there are three variances.
Right. Okay.
Correct.
22 inches. They're projecting 6 feet, 10 inches.
I had it at 5'2" from the property line.
From the property line, which would mean a 6-foot, 10-inch projection into the... You're allowed...
Correct.
You're allowed to project... You're allowed to project 5 feet.
Right.
You're projecting an additional...
So I would put the third floor deck right at the 7-foot line.
Yeah. Okay.
We just did it from the property line, not from the house. So same distance, just different.
7 feet required from the property line. The first floor and second floor decks are going to be at 5'2" from the property line. The second floor deck, there's no dimensions for that, but it's outside the building envelope. But what you're saying, it's going to be set back 7 feet.
Correct.
That's exactly right.
Any reason to separate the votes? Does the board see any reason to do a separate vote on any of these variances? The reason I ask is if someone has a concern with maybe the third floor deck and your vote is no, everything fails. But if everyone's comfortable, I'll just do one vote. Keep it moving.
We should do one vote.
Okay. All right.
You know you have a long night. Well, we're fine with that too. So.
It's
I think right. You got your answer.
If you could form a resolution, please.
All right. So it's three variances all relating to decks. For the first and second floor deck, I guess there's different ways to phrase it, but 7-foot front yard setbacks required. They're proposing 5'2", and then for the third floor deck, it has to be within the building envelope. It's coming outside the building envelope, and it'll have a 7-foot front yard setback. The conditions will be that the applicant will supply compliance plans showing the third floor deck to be approved by Mr. McLaren. They'll also submit a landscaping plan. But the three street trees will be on Atlantic Avenue. None are going to be required on Troy Avenue. And they'll obviously be out of the site triangle. And any other representations made on behalf of the applicant during the course of the hearing, subject to any outside approvals, if any.
Okay. May I have a motion and a second, please?
I'll make a motion.
A second.
We'll have a roll call vote and state your reasons, please. I'm going to vote yes on this particular application. The way the plans fit into the deck actually enhance the property and enhance much of the zoning that we have. In addition to that, there's a sort of a number of illusions that occur, particularly on the third floor deck, which is very, very visually diminished from the street itself. So consequently, in the spirit of things, trying to tuck it away, the third floor deck is partially tucked away. and the actions of looking at it, of extending these decks out, are not onerous to the city, or it's the property, or to the adjoining residents, or our master plan. So therefore, I'm going to vote yes, because it enhances the resort nature of the community. And also, Mr. Sadie has worked well to try and enhance the landscaping in our community, the curbside appeal of the community, and has looking to make a better milieu all the way around for everyone who lives in this town. So therefore, I'm voting yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Kriebel?
I support the application, I think, mostly because it's heavily weighted on positives here. You have a majority of the conforming, you have new landscaping, you have new street trees, you have less mass than the codes require, and you have variances driven by a design aesthetic for outdoor space and adding to the facade of Atlantic Avenue, which I think is a very attractive facade, and it enhances that corridor in Ventnor by its mass. So I think adding roughly 45 square feet is going to be some of the most valuable square footage in that property, and I support the third floor as well.
Thank you.
Lorraine Salata?
Typically, when we have an application for relief for new construction, I personally always really scrutinize it because we like to see new construction with a minimal of variances. I understand the applicant's desire to have additional outdoor space. I don't find this egregious, and I don't think it's unreasonable, so I will vote for it.
Thank you, Ms. Salata.
Mike Leeson?
I agree with all the comments that my colleagues have stated. I love the new look of what people are bringing in front of the board, where there's more outdoor space, more porch. If you go around some of the new construction, you can see porches wrapping around the entire house. And just looking at this property, if it was one house in or two houses in, we may think differently. But where it's located is perfect for what they're asking, and I vote in favor.
Thanks.
Peter Taco?
I will also vote in favor of the application, echoing what everybody else has said. Outdoor space is really at a premium in the shore towns. Used to be when we entertained on the ground, we had the whole yard. Now we've got to build elevated yards, and I don't think you're asking for a lot of 2 feet variances on that. And as far as the third floor deck goes, it's tucked in behind that other roof. You're really not even going to see that at all. So for those reasons and meeting the criteria, I suppose.
Thank you.
Tim Coop?
I also support the application. I think the positives certainly outweigh the negatives. I like porches. It's a great way of meeting your neighbors. So I vote in favor.
Thank you, Mr. Coop.
Greer Gaskell?
I vote yes also. There's more positive than the negatives. As far as the views and the driveway, and it's a nice looking house compared to what was there.
Mm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I know, but they could.
You're complete.
All right. Thanks all. Have a nice night.
Congratulations.
All right. Thank you.
Look now. And welcome to our community again. So,
all right.
Thank you very much.
So long.
Good. Yeah, you're out of this. Yep. Lance isn't here, so.
Yeah,
we have enough. Yep.
Thank you.
That's it.
Do you want to do a...
I didn't read it that quickly. Well, that, yeah. Yeah, the building, we're not going to change that.
And it's
$1.40
an hour.
That would
be a raise.
Yeah.
No parking there.
Right. So that, the location of the...
I think all these people will show up.
I don't
All right, know. Thank you.
Have a good night, sir.
Yeah. Good luck. Looks like you got a house.
Yeah.
Good night.
What?
Let's let the record reflect that Commissioner Kriebel has departed from the board due to the next case has a use variance in it, and he is not permitted to hear that by his classification. So, Mr. Kriebel, Commissioner Kriebel has recused himself.
That's correct, and Commissioner Landgraf isn't here.
Commissioner Landgraf is not here, and Tom Halpin is not here. So therefore, those members of the board are not here, not posing a problem to this hearing.
Yep, we're functioning for the Shabbat at the Shore, 300 North Dudley Avenue application. We're now down to 7 members. We're functioning as a zoning board, a true zoning board, which will require 5 votes, but we'll get into that more later, but just for the record.
Mr. Fleishman, we have a 7-member board. We have a 7-member board.
Oh, very good. Thank you, sir.
Okay. At this time, if you can bring those who are going to speak, have them up, be sworn.
Sure.
And have your professionals sworn.
Sure, Mr. Chairman. I have 3 witnesses at the moment. I have Rabbi Abraham Rappaport. I have Sherry Lemmerman. Would you stand up and just come up here? And, of course, John Barnhart.
We'll have them all sworn.
Okay, I'll get you all sworn. And then just procedurally, Joel, I see Mr. Ford's here. He's obviously representing someone. Procedurally, I'll let the applicant put on his case. We'll go to the public. We'll let any attorneys go first during the public. That might streamline some things. And then anyone else from the public will get to speak and, you know, do any cross-examination or anything you need to do. All right? Mr. Fleishman, if you can just go down the line, each of you state your name and address, and I'll swear all you in together.
Sherry Lemmerman, 103 North Bryant Avenue, Ventnor, New Jersey.
Okay.
That's
C-H-E-R-Y. C-H-E-R-Y. And it's, how do you spell your last name?
L-E-M-M-E-R-M-A-N.
Okay. And Rabbi?
Abraham Rappaport, A-V-R-O-H-O-M, R-A-P-O-P-O-R-T, 23 South Troy Avenue, Ventnor, New Jersey.
Okay.
08406.
Thank you. Mr. Barnhart?
John Barnhart, licensed professional engineer, licensed professional planner in the state of New Jersey. Office address 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City.
Thanks. And if you could each please raise your right hand, do you each swear or affirm that the testimony you're going to give tonight will be the truth?
Yes,
I do.
Thank you. And
I'll let the record reflect that Mr. Barnhart's credentials are acceptable. He's appeared before this board many times.
And that would be as an engineer, sure. Engineer and a planner.
And planner.
Yeah, engineer and planner. Thank you.
Right. Now, as a matter of housekeeping, this evening, those people would like to speak in the public, you're all welcome to, we'd like to limit to about 3 minutes to start with. So for comments, so can we get everybody in? We'd ask that there's no cheering, no clapping, so we can go through and other things. If you disagree with somebody, well, you disagree with somebody, but it's their point to give their viewpoint, and that is the case. So we'll go forward with that, and decorum is of the day here. And at that point now, Mr. Fleishman, please proceed.
Thank you. You can sit down. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Good evening. My name is Joel Fleishman. I'm an attorney appearing here tonight on behalf of Chabad at the Shore Incorporated. Chabad at the Shore is a religious nonprofit corporation of the state of New Jersey. And we're all very excited to be here tonight to present this project to you. The project that impacts 300 North Dudley Avenue. It's actually at the intersection of Dudley and Calvert. What's there right now is a church that's actually occupied by an Asian religious sect. And that church has been in existence in that location probably over 40 years. Chabad has the property under contract, of course, contingent on getting approvals for what they want to do there. And what they want to do is basically move in and have religious services there for the Orthodox members of the Chabad sect. And I want to add, and we'll hear more about this, but they do not drive, and I know that there may be some issues with parking because the building never had parking and it doesn't have parking, and we don't propose any parking. So the members of our community that come to services on a Saturday morning or on a holiday, they're Ventnor, they're Genoa, and the Heights, and they walk, because now they have to walk to the facility at 6605 Atlantic Avenue, which is called the Casa, which probably many of you are familiar with. So what they'd like to do in addition to, if it was just a religious changeover, I probably wouldn't be staying before you this evening, as I think that would be a permitted change. But what they want to add, as is common with so many religious institutions, is a preschool slash child daycare. And the reason I add that is because there are children here from Ms. Lehman, who runs the school, has run the school for 11 years at 6605 Atlantic. They do go down to about 6 months, up to 6 years. So this is not 7, 8 years old. This is for young children. It is a preschool. Both the religious use and the preschool use are deemed to be inherently beneficial uses in the state of New Jersey under case law and statutory law. And so what does this board have to grant tonight, if you're so inclined? We're looking for a D variance, not for the religious use of the building as a synagogue. That would be permitted. What we're looking for is the ability to run the preschool, and you'll hear more about the preschool. So we need a D variance, we need a use variance for that. And we need one or two C variances that Mr. McLaren has called out, rightfully called out. And we may be able to eliminate one of those variances, or we may modify one of those that might be to the benefit or to the pleasure of this board. When we're looking at a D variance for a religious institution, there are some special rules. It's an inherently beneficial use. So that inherently satisfies the positive criteria that we have to show under the municipal land use law. With the positive criteria also comes the negative criteria. So we have to still show that there's no substantial detriment to the public good, no substantial detriment to the zoning plan. I think we're going to show there's no detriment, let alone a substantial detriment. So as an inherently beneficial use, it satisfies the positive. We'll show you that we satisfy the negative. Also, I would add that if a site is particularly well-suited for what is being proposed, then it's deemed to serve the public good and the general welfare, which is one of the zoning purposes, one of the goals of zoning. So that's how you satisfy a positive criteria if you don't have an inherently beneficial use. My suggestion to the board is I have both. I have an inherently beneficial use for both the religious use as well as the school, and I have a particularly well-suited site for what we propose. That's kind of, and I don't want to belabor too much longer. There's a lot of people here who want to speak. So at this point, what I'd like to do, Mr. Chairman, he's been sworn. I'd like Rabbi Aaron Rappaport to address the board.
Please.
Thank you. Rabbi? Just one note of housekeeping. I just wanted to add that I did give notice of tonight's hearing to the property owners within 200 feet on June 15th, 2022, and I posted in the newspaper on June 16th, 2022. So I just want to make sure we have jurisdiction to proceed tonight. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Rabbi?
Yes, thank you for hearing our proposition. I'm the rabbi on right down the street here at the Chai Center, and also on the board of directors of Chabad at the Shore, which is going to be purchasing the building. As Joel pointed out, it is very difficult for people who are observant on the Shabbat to come all the way to the island. Some people have to walk as far as 40 minutes, sometimes in the heat, sometimes in the cold, and some of the people are here right now. So using this chapel as a place to be able to have another place of service will be very beneficial for our community. And on the other hand, we have located this beautiful building, and it shows to be a nice place to be able to have the preschool. It has two nice rooms in the back, spacious, high ceilings, and we think it's going to be a good fit. The preschool is Michelle's Montessori Preschool, which has been servicing the neighborhood for 11 years already. So many families have benefited from this wonderful school, a place of where children could get an education and get and enjoy joyfulness and happiness and a healthy environment to learn. It's so important to our community, and Michelle does such a wonderful job with her staff. Currently, it's on the location on Atlantic Avenue. The synagogue wants to use this space for some classrooms and offices, and this new location would be a good place that Michelle's school can go to, and we think that's important for the neighborhood. I personally, I know there are questions about, you know, drop-off and pick-up, and I'll let the professionals take care of all that. I happen to live right next to the current drop-off location, and from a personal perspective and experience, it's really a happy place. We've never had a problem with parents blocking traffic or anything. It's a really quick procedure where a child's dropped off and picked up. It is a beautiful thing if you get to see a mother and a child, a father and a child holding hands and that little kiss on the forehead before they go into the school for the day. It definitely brightens my morning. I'll miss that aspect of it. So I know that neighbors may be concerned or have questions, and we're taking that in consideration to make this in a way that doesn't put a strain on any kind of traffic. And finally, I'll conclude that I believe that it's so important to have places for parents to bring their children so that they could go to work and support their families and know their children are safe. And Ms. Sherry does a wonderful job, and we really would love to see her continue to be able to service the greater Ventnor community as she does and her staff. And I think it's a great thing for the neighborhood. It'll only enhance things, and I hope that we can make this happen. So thank you very much.
Before you go, just to ask you, you know, the preschool has to be licensed by the state, correct?
Yeah.
And I think you've had an opportunity to meet with the representative from the state already. Can you tell the board what did they tell
you? Yes, they gave us a complimentary walkthrough, and they said that the site would work for what we want to do, up to 23 students.
And do you have any plans to change the exterior of the building, staying as is?
It's a beautiful building. We wouldn't want to change. Maybe a little signage.
Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit about
okay. And the interior is really ready to go. It's really a perfect place for what we want to do, at least from our point of view.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can proceed to the next witness.
Please.
Sherry Lemmerman.
Pardon me one second. Counselor, you just move to your witnesses as you see fit.
Okay.
You don't have to ask.
Okay.
Just go ahead.
Sherry Lemmerman, it's the Ventnor Montessori School. We operate the hour 7:30 to 4:30. And the policy is the stop, drop, and roll type of thing where parents park for just a few seconds, few minutes, drop their children off. There's a greeter at the door. The children come right in. So we never really have a problem with traffic. Most of our parents of the children teach at Atlantic City High, Lafayette School, Stockton University. So their times of opening for each school is staggered. So we never really have, it just kind of flows. And I always know who's up next, who's coming in, and the flow of traffic is pretty quick.
Do you ever have any problems, any complaints from the neighborhood?
No,
any complaints from the police departments?
No, most of the neighbors are very happy to see the children. They wave, they smile, they get to know, you know, cars and people that are there coming to get their kids.
You went into parking and drop-off. I wanted to ask you, tell the board a little bit about yourself, your educational background. You are the director of the school.
Yes, I'm the director of the school. It is a licensed facility. The next building would also be a licensed facility. We go through a lot to get the licensing with testing of the water and testing everything. So it all, you know, is square with the state of New Jersey. I'm a graduate of the University of the Arts. And got my teaching degree shortly after, and was in the public school system, but wanted to do something more, because I feel that the most important ages is 0 to 3, 0 to 5. These are the ages that children really need an extra love and care, and Montessori program is basically no screens, no TVs, no iPads, no nothing. It's chalkboard, it's blocks, it's Legos, it's the old-fashioned way of learning. And the kids in a group setting like that, the little kids get to learn from the big kids aspire to help the little kids, and everyone who graduates loves babies and loves helping out with little kids.
And so 11 years you've run this school, correct?
Mm-hmm.
At 6605?
Yes.
Okay. And you also have experience in the Ventnor school system, correct?
Yes, I was in the Ventnor school system for 5 years with the program there for the teachers of the Ventnor school system on Lafayette Avenue. And then the Head Start program came in and they needed the extra space. And it's just, the way the universe works, this building became available and I moved my school right into the new one.
Do you feel that this site is very well suited for what you need?
I do, it's a beautiful site. There's lots of windows, just fresh air. It's just got a great feel to it.
Let's talk a little bit about the operations of the school. How many teachers?
So everything with the license is based on 1 to 4, 1 to 6. It's all ratios, so we always have more than what we need. My mom is 80 years old, and her career is feeding babies. All she wants to do, rock babies and feed babies, so she's always available. We have Katie Costello and Julia Iannelli, who are both Ventnor residents. I myself am from Ventnor, and we're just there for the kids. We're there for the whole program. It is educational structured as well. There's a circle time. They learn the days of the week, the months of the year, and what I'm fond of saying is if they can tie their shoes, zip their coat, and stand in a straight line, they can graduate. That's one of the hardest things that you can teach anybody that age.
How many students do you anticipate that?
Well, the way it's, with COVID, it was 10 and 10, like 10 for each room. So there was a lot. Now they're breaking down. But we do average around 20 kids. We don't try to overpack it.
Three teachers?
There's three teachers and myself.
And yourself. And do all the teachers drive or some of them?
Well, Katie lives two blocks away, so she'll just walk to work.
So
and Julia is right. Julie's not too far either. She said it's a great opportunity for her to bike. So would be myself.
And the hours of operation, let's just go over that.
Mm-hmm.
So 7:30 generally in the morning,
yes.
Starts the drop-offs, right?
Yes. Atlantic City teachers have to be in school by 7:30. 7:45. So that's usually the 7:30 is the Atlantic City teachers.
Okay, and it's staggered.
Yes.
It's not like everybody shows up at one time.
No. And a lot of parents work together with their husbands and their wives, and so they figure out it's not easy getting two little kids out the door in the morning. Sometimes they come in their pajamas and the bags are handed over, and sometimes they're all ready to go.
Yep.
But it's always staggered.
Now, when you function there, you don't have a little son.
No, we don't.
And if you have no problems.
No problems.
So here you're going to have a living center.
Yes.
The city of Bruce.
Okay. That'd be
great. You have a living center for two cars. Will that work?
Yes.
That'll work well.
Yes, because there's a greeter at the door. So the kids are always, from the time the parent drops off, the child is either picked up by age or hand, and there's always a greeter, and they're walked into the
there's
building.
There's no lingering.
No lingering.
So
because of COVID, that's really, because well, before too, I mean, we can always talk outside, but COVID is, no parents are allowed in anymore. So it's just really just at the door, and everybody's, the attendance is taken at that time.
Now, since a lot of people that are, the children off, the teachers and professors, when do they come back to pick up generally?
Again, Atlantic City High is 3:00. Ventnor is like 3:15 group. And Stockton just depends on what their teaching schedule is that day.
So generally it's outside the normal commuting hours, correct?
Yes, and I would say most children are picked up by 3:30.
Let's talk about the play area outside. Will there be any equipment out there?
No, we don't. Due to licensing, we don't do anything with equipment. Basically, it's back to the same old-fashioned thing. Blocks, water play, seeds, growing things, having a garden, something that they can plant and get dirty and do all that kind of stuff with. So it'll be hands-on outside.
Children are always supervised at
always, home. Always.
I have no further questions.
Next witness.
Does the board have questions?
So, Joel, there are two classrooms, Ms. Lemmer?
There are two classrooms, yes. I think they show on the, when we file the application, the sketch plan.
And when you mentioned the beginning hours, set roughly 7:30, they begin to arrive.
I'm sorry.
7:30
students begin to arrive. What is the last at the end of the day? What is your last pickup?
Probably around 4:00.
Around that early?
Yeah, most of, yeah, it's, we're done fairly early, 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And no school on Saturday?
No school on Saturday and Sunday, no.
Okay. That's early, 4 o'clock.
Well, there are mostly teachers.
Okay.
So they have to be at their facility.
And firemen, and, you know, yeah, we serve, and policemen, we have a lot of our veteran.
Okay, thank you.
Family.
Board members, any other questions of the applicant? If not?
Now, I do have a question.
Okay.
I'm looking at, so is there an outdoor play area? Because there's so little space around this.
We could, if you, Mr. Barnhart's going to testify.
Oh, that's you. Okay, all right.
I think he'll explain exactly.
I'm sure he'll do a splendid job. He always does.
He always does.
Okay. John, if you need to grab that mic, please do.
Okay.
Right, John, I know you've been qualified already.
Yes.
Licensed engineer for the next year.
John, pardon me to be good. Could you take that for a minute and just, so everybody in the audience doesn't know what that phantom is, just show it, flash it to the audience in the back.
Sure.
So they know somewhat of what you're looking at, yeah. Please.
So I'm going to first receive you from an aerial photo of the site, of the project site and the surrounding area.
Mr. Chairman, if I could ask Mr. Manis, we didn't submit this as part of our main package, so could we, would like to call it A1?
A1 aerial photo?
It's an aerial photo of the area. You can identify that for the record, please.
Sure.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Okay.
You did prepare the variance plan for us.
We did, yes. That's correct.
Would you explain what exhibit A1 is?
Sure. So I wanted to bring this exhibit to just make sure everybody's familiar. I know you all are. But make sure everybody's familiar with the location of the site, surrounding land uses, because I think it's important to the discussion of why we think the site is so particularly well suited for the use that's proposed. The site in question, as Joel pointed out, is a site that's been a religious facility for an excess of 40 years, as we understand it. It sits right on the corner of Calvert Avenue and Dudley Avenue, which, as we know, is just half a block off of Dorset Avenue. It's immediately adjacent to the parking lot of the former Wawa, which is now the pickleball facility. And then, as you know, as you go back along Calvert Avenue, you have a very established, well-established residential neighborhood. The traffic circulation pattern, I want to show you here, because again, that's important to how this facility will function. As I'm sure you probably all are familiar, Dudley Avenue is a one-way street heading away from Vetner proper and toward West End Avenue, which works well with the plan as we proposed. And Calvert Avenue happens to be a two-way street, but I think another benefit to this location for us is that there is no parking on our side of the street, so there will not be a concern about cars parked right in front of the facility and a child running between them or something like that. It'll be an open frontage of the site. So because cars are not allowed to park there. So the traffic circulation on both of the streets that this site sits on are to our advantage with regard to making sure that this is a successful and safe location. The rest of the surrounding area, I'm sure you're very familiar with Dorset Avenue, has a mixture of residential and commercial elements to it. This is an R2 residential zone, as Joel already identified. Now I'm switching to the plan that was part of the application. There are actually no changes to this plan whatsoever.
Okay, I'll still call it A2, the variance plan, which everyone has a copy of.
Okay. So the proposal this evening, as you heard discussed at length by all of the witnesses so far, is to utilize the existing religious institution as a religious institution for services on Saturdays, and then to also, during the week, utilize it as a up to 23 student preschool facility. The building itself is the gray shaded area that you see on this plan. There is no change to the building whatsoever. There is no increase in square footage or footprint. There are really no exterior renovations to the building that are necessary. The building has been well kept in recent years. The proposed modifications to the site, the site itself, do include a couple of things. First is that we are seeking the utilization, or I'll say demarcation of a, what we're going to call a drop-off pickup or a loading zone on Dudley Avenue. That area would be 50 feet in length, so it would be our property frontage. It would be more than adequate for two cars, potentially even three cars, depending on the size of the cars that happen to pull up at any one time. But the location of it works well because Dudley Avenue is one way in the northerly direction. Cars can pull up right to the side of the curb, get out, open the back door, get their child out, take them right to the sidewalk, walk down the pedestrian sidewalk and into the front of the building. So the location works extremely well in our opinion. You heard the testimony as to how the morning drop-off and afternoon pickup take place. They are very much staggered. Because they're coming from a number of different locations, they are very much staggered. So based on our discussions with our client, we believe that the proposed drop-off pickup area is more than adequate for this single, essentially single classroom. It is two rooms, but it's only 20 children. So we believe that proposed location for drop-off pickup works very well. The second element that is proposed, and this goes to Ms. Salata's question, we are proposing to fence in a small area in the front of the site. Obviously, there's not a lot of room on the site, but we would like to accomplish a small area so the children can go outside. As you heard the description of what they may do out there, there might be a little water table that they take in and out on a daily basis. There might be a little area that they plant some flowers or some vegetables, things of that nature, but allow the kid to get outside as part of their school day. The proposal for that is to fence the area. It starts right here where I'm pointing my finger at the corner of the building, come out to the back of the sidewalk, come along the back of the sidewalk back to the property corner, or down to the property corner, and then back to the building. The actual plan in front of you actually shows the fence going all along this location, but as a result of some conversations and meetings with the health department, there's been a request made by them for us to install bollards along the face of this building for the frontage of, for the entirety of the frontage of our site. So our client has agreed to do that. So what we're proposing to do is stop the fence and turn it back to the building to give a little enclosure area here so that they can let the kids out. They're 100% supervised at all times, but it gives them an area to go outside and do some small outside activities. That request does require a variance and also a license agreement from the city council, because we are proposing to go to the back of the city sidewalk with the fence location, which actually then does encroach into the public right of way a bit. This Calvert Avenue has a distance from the curb back to property lines a little over 12 feet. So we're asking to utilize about 4 feet of that and still leaving 8.5 feet from the fence to the face of curb, and obviously not interfering with the existing public sidewalk whatsoever. It just gives a little bit more room for the children to be able to be outside and utilize that space.
I'd just like to add that the bollards were a request of the Department of Health.
That's correct. That is correct.
Yeah. When they came to visit the site, they thought, because of the adjoining parking lot, the commercial parking lot that's next door, that if we put bollards in there, it'd be a greater. They were more concerned about cars coming over the little concrete pad that's here and jumping into our building than they were concerned about the effect of our building on their site.
John? Could you explain to the board and the public what the bollards are for? I know
absolutely. So the plan is to place concrete-filled steel bollards along our property line, obviously on the subject property, to prohibit a vehicle that from the adjacent lot from jumping their curb if they happen to make an accident, because they are pulling straight into the side of this existing building. It would stop the vehicle from being able to hit the building.
Whereas the fence would
do that. Fence would not do that. That's correct. It's actually a rather expensive investment, but I think it was an appropriate request, and our client was happy to do it.
John, how tall are they?
How tall will the bollards be?
Yeah.
Probably 48 inches.
48 inches.
48
above.
Inches above the adjacent grade.
Okay.
Yes, because the adjacent grade sticks up a little bit.
Yeah.
Former, I keep saying Wawa. The parking lot is a little higher than our site. That's correct. and has that large curve along the property line.
The sign, so it's...
Yeah, so the next site aspect is we are proposing to add some landscaping along Dudley Avenue to try to beautify the corner of the site a little bit.